I did something last week that I haven't done very often. I gave you a homework assignment. And I'm curious to know if anybody did it. Now, we are going to work on this morning, and we're going to work on this together, and this morning may be a little different from some mornings. So you guys who are visiting with us, this is not necessarily today an example of what it is on the other days. But let me very briefly, for those of you who weren't here last week, let me very briefly set the stage. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I told you about a particularly awful commercial I saw on my television set from a local law firm, which will not be named. And in the ad for the law firm, a fraction of a verse of scripture appeared at the top of the screen. And it was out of 2 Chronicles 20. And it said, "The battle is not yours," end quotes, dot, dot, dot. "The battle is not yours," dot, dot, dot. And at the bottom of the screen, it said, "So call the law firm of so-and-so." And I remember being jolted when I saw that, because I thought I remembered the verse said, "The battle is not yours, comma, it's God's," and not some law firm. But I thought maybe I was mistaken, and that they did mention this law firm in 2 Chronicles. It turns out they did not. It turns out they did not mention the law firm. It did say what I thought it said. But it made me take a closer look at the context in which that particular verse appeared. That sentence from God was a response to a prayer, and it was a prayer from a guy whose name I have loved ever since I rode on a horse with that name, which was Jehoshaphat. My grandfather had a horse named Jehoshaphat. We used to get to ride him, so anytime I hear about Jehoshaphat, I think wonderful things about that horse. Now, the third thing that happened was that from time to time I have a chance to listen to some podcasts and other things as I'm driving to and from work. And I realized that in the last month I had heard one particular guy, Robbie Zacharias, for those of you who keep score, mention a character in the Old Testament who had a very interesting prayer. And it turns out that sentence that the law firm's ad took me to was the answer to that prayer. It was Jehoshaphat in that prayer. And the context is, in Jehoshaphat's prayer, he said, "God, are you not?" And then he listed some things. And then he said, "Did you not?" And he listed some things. And in that same context, he said, "Have we not?" Speaking of the people that he was the leader for. And then he closed with, "Will you not?" And I realized I was looking at a model of prayer that most people don't look at. They might look at the Lord's Prayer. They might look at a couple of other places. But nobody's going to go find Jehoshaphat's prayer. And so what I did last week was to try to take you through what he said in that context. And let me remind you again very briefly of what we talked about last week. Are you not, have you not said, he was recounting things that God, are you not, do you not, excuse me, he was recounting things that God was doing in the present. Did you not, have you not said, he was connecting that to activity that God had in the past. Will you not, he was now from that projecting into the future. And what happens is, so many times people get caught looking only at the past, looking only at the present, or looking only at the future, that harmonizing of those in that prayer was very significant. The impetus for that prayer was that the kingdom was at peace, he was in his palace, everything was doing fine, and all of a sudden he gets word that an invading army is coming in, and they're at the borders, and they're going to invade almost momentarily. And he knows his kingdom cannot resist that army. And so he's putting his prayer before the Lord. But instead of starting with, "God, won't you do something?" he instead starts with, "God, are you not doing these things today? Didn't you do these things in the past? Haven't we done these things in response to what you've said? On that basis, will you not act in this particular context?" And then the fascinating thing was, when you get to the "will you not," all this is in 2 Chronicles 20, you can look at this. He doesn't say, as so often it's said in Scripture in ways that jar a little bit on the ears, won't you kill them all, wipe them out? He doesn't say that. He simply says, will you not judge the situation? One translation says, will you not pass sentence, which says judge, and then act in accordance with that judgment? He does not tell God what God ought to do. He simply says, will you not take notice of this situation and do what needs to be done? Now, the challenge that I gave you, which you have so faithfully carried out, was to try to begin the process of working on your own. God, are you not? God, do you not? Look at the present in your life and frame a relationship with God in light of God's action today. Another set of things to work on is to work on, did you not? Have you not said? And in that context, maybe in both contexts, bring yourself into it. Have I not? Have we not? Are we not? Am I not? And then from that, you will be ready when the day comes to frame a will you not. The position that I was trying to take last week was a fairly simple one, which is the moment when you need to go to the will you not, there's not much time to frame the other things, and therefore frame properly how to pray to God. And therefore the time to do that framing is when you're not under the gun. And I'm almost literally now making reference to 2 Chronicles. They were under the gun, so to speak, with that invading army. So, has anybody worked on this? One person. Bless you. Bless you. Since I figured you might not, I have come armed with three things. I have come armed with blank paper. I have come armed with writing instruments, just in case you don't have your own, courtesy of the Bank of Virginia and courtesy of Big Pen, by way of office depot, I think. And I have come armed with the chairs that you're sitting in, which are going to need to be moved into some other orientation. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to get groups of either 5 or 6, and I'd like you to work on this in your group. I know we never do this. That's why we're doing it today. I need you to wrestle with this. Now, as you get ready to do this, you're going to be now thinking ahead, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? I want to say this is a moment, whether you write it down or not, for you to decide whether you need to frame such a prayer the way Jehoshaphat did, or whether you need to frame the prayer more in the way that Ezra did, in a prayer that you haven't seen yet. Let me tell you about that for a minute. Jehoshaphat said, God, are you not doing these things today? Are these not your qualities and your characteristics? And are not these the things that you're doing today? Did you not do these things? Did you not say these things? And have we not done properly? This is the heart of Jehoshaphat's prayer. Have we not properly done the things you told us to do? Therefore, we have the right, in essence, to ask, will you not judge the situation? Ezra, in his prayer, said, God, you're a holy God. You're a jealous God. You put standards before us. Have we not failed pretty miserably at meeting your standards? Have we not put ourselves in the position where we have no right to ask you to listen? Nevertheless, God, we put ourselves on your mercy. Will you listen? Will you hear our cry? I don't know which one you need to do today. And it may be a little hard to say that out loud. But frame for yourselves today, and I want you to talk to people in a group about it, because I think there's some power in that. And if there is a point in any of your life where there is something you need to be praying about, you can move with your group into the God, will you not. Connect the present to the past, and from that foundation, ask God to look at the future with you. Okay? So what I would ask you to do is rearrange your chairs. And one more thing. As you do that, try as best you can to sit with people you don't know very well, rather than with people you do know very well. And what's happening in the fellowship hall? Nothing's happening out there. If you need to carry some chairs out there and carry them back in at the end to get a little bit more room, you do that. I know you don't. Yeah. Okay?
I have a paper. Would you please rearrange?
Stay where you are. Just stay where you are. Where you are is okay. You don't have to move around from where you are. Was the exercise valuable? I don't know how we can share all the things that were said. So maybe the best thing to do is for me to just list some of the things I put down, and maybe you can line those up against things you've talked about and share with me individually or share with each other individually. I don't know how often in the future we will do something like this. I don't think it'll be every week, but I think never to do this is equally bad, and I appreciate your cooperation. Here's what I put down. Are you not aware of us? Are you not concerned, aware of us? Are you not concerned about us? Are you not in control of everything that happens? Are you not ready to listen to us if and when we call on you in Jesus' name? And are you not giving us opportunities to be witnesses of you and of your activities among us? Did you not call us into your service and into your kingdom? Did you not give us guidance for how we are to live and how we were to live? Did you not make everything that exists? Did you not promise never to leave us or forsake us? Did you not warn us of our need to choose? Sorry? I didn't expect you to write that down. Did you not warn us of our need to choose carefully what we do and who we follow? The whole book of Deuteronomy is about that. Did you not promise that nothing could separate us from your love made known to us in Christ Jesus? There may be a few have we nots in your list, and it may be have we not done everything we know to be right with you, and it may be have we not missed opportunity after opportunity to do the things that are necessary to be right with you? In the first case, call on God's justice. That's what Jehoshaphat did. In the second case, call on His mercy. That's what most of the rest of us did. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, are you not God? Have you not called us? And have we not at least begun the process of responding? Will you not in the days ahead work with us to deepen our relationship with you so that you can deepen our ability to serve you? Today in our church, we're looking at those opportunities that we have to be members mobilized into action in your kingdom. Help us be aware of your call and go with us through the days that come. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.